From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Restoration of Israel, an exposition of chapter 11. Because of its idolatry and apostasy, God rejected Israel. Yet the Lord had made a covenant with Israel through Abraham, and he would keep that promise. In the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul proves that God's rejection of Israel is neither final nor total. God's purpose of grace will be fulfilled. God had promised Abraham that in his seed all families of the earth would be blessed. As Dr. Cairns will explain, that promise is the key to understanding what Paul termed the fullness of the Gentiles. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God. When Dr. Carey was suffering from a dangerous illness, the inquiry was made, if this sickness should prove fatal, what passage would you select as the text for your funeral sermon? He replied, I feel that such a poor, sinful creature is unworthy to have anything said about him. But if a funeral sermon must be preached, let it be from the words, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. In the same spirit of humility, he directed in his will that the following inscription and nothing more should be cut on his gravestone. William Carey, born August 17, 1761, died a wretched, poor, and helpless worm. On thy kind arms I fall. Only on the footing of free grace can the most experienced and most honored of the saints approach their God. The best of men are conscious above all others that they are men at the best. Empty boats float high, but heavily laden vessels are low in the water. Mere professors can boast, but true children of God cry for mercy upon their unprofitableness. We have need that the Lord should have mercy on our good works, our prayers, our preachings, our almsgivings, and our holiest things. The blood was not only sprinkled upon the doorposts of Israel's dwelling houses, but upon the sanctuary, the mercy seat, and the altar. Because as sin intrudes into our holiest things, the blood of Jesus is needed to purify them from defilement. If mercy needed to be exercised towards our duties, what shall be said of our sins? How sweet the remembrance that inexhaustible mercy is waiting to be gracious to us, to restore our backslidings, and make our broken bones rejoice.
Death of mercy, can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
Now, what is the fullness of the Gentiles? Some people, post-millennialists, say that it means the same here as it means up in verse 12, where we have the fullness of Israel. It's talking about their spiritual fullness. When the Gentile nations have been fully converted, then the result will be they will evangelize the Jews, and the Jews will be saved in great numbers. There's a big difficulty with that, because immediately we are told that the fullness of Israel is going to have such an effect upon the Gentiles that it will be like life from the dead. But if the Gentiles have already been spiritually full, how can you be fuller than full? Doesn't make a lot of sense. There are others like Lenski and some of his amillennial friends who translate, or should I say interpret, this as saying that the Jews as a nation will remain in unbelief right until the end. They'll be in hardness until the very last Gentile has been brought into Christ, the last sinner has been saved, and so all Israel, all the elect, will be saved. For the same reasons that I give above, I don't think that cuts any ice. For my part, I believe that this fullness is another way of making the same statement that Jesus made in Matthew 24, verse 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is the penetration fully of the nations with the gospel. And that's what leads up to the second coming of Christ. And it's interesting to me that in verse 26, the restoration of Israel happens when the deliverer comes out of Zion. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. And right at the end of the chapter, verse 20 and 21. And surely this is what Paul is quoting. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. That's the restoration that Paul is talking about. And it's at the time of the second coming of Christ. Now keep that in mind, for that has enormous significance, as you'll see before we're through. Verse 26 and 27, you have the result of this restoration. He has turned away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sin. Israel will enter into the pardon. As Zechariah puts it, there's a fountain open in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. The reasons for this restoration, verse 28 through 32. First of all, verse 28, God's sovereign election. Isn't it amazing how often Paul comes back to that? When he was dealing with the rejection of Israel, God's sovereign election. He's dealing with the remnant, God's sovereign election. He's dealing with the restoration, God's sovereign election. Let me ask you a question. How many fundamental Bible-believing churches in America tonight do you think you could go to and hear a sermon on God's sovereign election? How many? Why on earth should I be ashamed of something that God rejoices in? Why? This is what brings it about, the purpose of God. Let me tell you, when God purposes something, it's going to come to pass. I delight in that. That's what gives certainty to the preaching of the gospel. That's what gives certainty to the missionary outreach of the church. That's what gives certainty to the great program that God has laid down in the scriptures. It is going to come to pass. Oh yes, there will be an antichrist, both religious and political. There will be an amalgamation of nations. There will be a mighty army gathered against Jerusalem. There will be horrendous, hellish, and earthly forces bringing to bear all their power to seek to overthrow the purpose of God. But the purpose of God, according to election, will stand. That's what he's saying. His election brings it about. Furthermore, his covenant with Abraham must be fulfilled. It must be fulfilled. They're beloved for the Father's sake. The immutability of the purpose, again in verse 29, is emphasized. This is one of the most wonderful verses in all the Bible. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They are irrevocable. He will never go back upon them. He will never take back his gift or his effectual calling. And then the reason, ultimately, verse 32. That he might have mercy upon all, God intends. And here you get into some Old Testament prophecies, notably the book of Zechariah. But God intends through the Jew, through his restoration, to have mercy on the whole world. Now, that's the outline. Now, I don't want you to think I've preached yet. I've just given you the outline. It's this chapter of immense importance. And I want to close by just applying it, as I said, to a few areas. Number one, there's an area of controversy. In fact, there are two controversies. I have mentioned dispensationalism as a hermeneutical scheme. It has the view of Israel as forever distinct from the church. There is a dichotomy, there is a disjunction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, let me immediately enter the disclaimer on behalf of some of my dispensational brethren. They are not all painting with the same brush. They're not all telling the same story. There are some indeed progressive dispensationalists. I think it'd be better to forget the name dispensationalist altogether because it's too old, it has too many connotations for them to reinvent it. That's only my opinion. I give it in love for them. But historically, you had the notion not only of the forever earthly people, that's Israel, the forever heavenly people, that's the church. As one dispensationalist preacher in Britain put it, Israel saved through a mixture of law and grace. Israel bringing tribulation saints to salvation without the Holy Ghost, who's gone to heaven with the raptured church, and preaching an everlasting gospel that's never neither everlasting nor a gospel. Those are not my inventions. I'm giving you a quote. But look at Romans 11. There's one olive tree. The root is Abraham. Israel, the natural branch, is cut off. We grafted into what? Into that stock of Abraham. As Paul said, that he taught the Galatians this, didn't he? Chapter 3. Those who are saved, those who are believers, are the children of faithful Abraham. And then Israel is grafted right back into what? Into the very stock into which we have already been grafted. There is a unity here that dispensationalism utterly overthrows. And therefore, as a hermeneutical scheme, it is fundamentally flawed and must, for the good of the cause of Christ and the clarity of the gospel, it must be repudiated. Then we come to the realm of eschatology. Big word, isn't it, for the doctrine of last things. Romans 11 sheds a lot of light on this subject. As I have tried to point out rather briefly, that Romans 11 deals with Israel as a nation in its rejection and Israel as a nation in its restoration. In other words, there is a future for national Israel, or a national future for the Jews. That's why the return of Israel to her homeland was no ordinary historical event. I am far from believing that all that the Jews say and do in their land is right. But I am also far from believing that they have no right to be there. I believe they are there in the fulfillment of the promise and the purpose of God from a long time back. There is a future for national Israel, but see what that means. If Romans 11 is talking about a future for national Israel, then this means that those Old Testament texts which deal with the same truth must be taken literally and not spiritualized. Now, I don't have time to go through the Old Testament texts that deal with this in detail, but I want you to turn with me to the book of Zechariah. And I want you to turn to chapter 12. There are many a place here you could turn to, but we'll go to chapter 12. And we'll start at verse 6. Now, you'll notice throughout this section in Zechariah 12 and into 13, In that day, right through to the end of the book indeed, in that day, 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 in that day. Do you get the impression God is trying to put a time scale here? Do you get the impression God is trying to draw? Well, let me rephrase that. Dr. Paisley taught me a long time ago, God doesn't try to do anything, He doesn't. Let us try to understand that God is emphasizing a particular time here. In that day, verse 6, will I make the governor of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like the torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about in the right hand and in the left. And notice this, Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And can you imagine after a statement like that, there are many learned commentators who say, we are not intended to interpret this as meaning Jerusalem at all. It's the church that's intended. It's a spiritual inhabiting. I am happy to see the spiritual application to the church. But when God says Jerusalem shall be inhabited in her own place, even in Jerusalem, is there any language known to man that could more clearly, positively, and demonstrably state the obvious? God is dealing with Jerusalem in its own place. Now then, verse 7, the Lord also shall see of the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now watch this carefully. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what happens at the coming of Christ. But you'll see immediately, this has huge, huge ramifications. Romans 11 demands, therefore, millennial blessing. That's why I said that when you come to Romans 11, amillennialism is a bankrupt hermeneutical system. Romans 11 demands millennial blessing. Watch it again very carefully. Verse 12, verse 15, verse 32. If the fall of the Jews be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Verse 32, that God might have mercy upon all. And any scheme that sees no restoration for Israel, that will lead to a spiritual enrichment for the whole world, is wrong. I believe that effectively removes amillennial schemes from all eschatological investigation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.